Well, this is our first Lord's Day in the year 2024, and it seems fitting that we begin with a song, a psalm of ascent. You'll be familiar with, beginning with Psalm 120 on, that there are a number of psalms of ascent, psalms of pilgrims going up to Jerusalem to worship, particularly during the three great festivals of the year. And we find in the Psalms a pattern of recognizing the hardships we're enduring and then looking to the Lord for his help, and then seeing also that he has given us the promise of glory and of heaven. And so Psalm 121 is a psalm looking to the Lord for help. And we certainly have that assurance not only in Psalm 121, but also in our Old Testament passage, our prophetic reading from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7, where the Lord assures us that we belong to him and he will guard us in our pilgrimage. And then in 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 18, the Apostle Paul speaks of the difficulties he's been enduring and yet assures the saints and Timothy that the Lord will deliver him from every trial and evil deed. And so that is our confidence as we face trial and difficulty, that the Lord will give us all we need. And to that end, let's ask the Lord to bless us by his word today. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do thank you for the world you have made. We thank you for the beauty that we see in it. We thank you for the relationships we can enjoy as you have created those who were made in your image, and you've made us to be in relationship with you and with one another. And we thank you, Father, that we are not alone in our journey, in our pilgrimage. We thank you, Father, that we can pray with one another and encourage one another and bear one another's burdens. But ultimately, we know, Lord, that our true strength, our peace, our refuge is found in you. You are the one, Lord, who gives ceaseless guidance. And you are the one who promises safe protection. And we thank you, Lord, that we see not only in this psalm, but throughout the scriptures, that you have guaranteed that you will bring your people persevering all the way to glory. And so we thank you for the promise of eternal life. We pray, Father, that in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of the challenges of our pilgrimage, that you would comfort us and encourage us and correct us, that we would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. For we pray in his name. Amen. Well, let us take care now to hear good news of our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom as we turn first to Isaiah 43. We'll read verses 1 through 7. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. And now 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 through 18. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no single metaphor, not one single word picture that can fully describe the beauty and the power and the comfort of life in relationship with God, that relationship of God with his people. For God is our good shepherd, and we are the lambs of his flock. He describes himself as the true vine, and we only live fruitful lives, being united to him. As Jesus says, we must find our life in him and abide in him. And he is our home. He is our dwelling place, our destination. For as we see in the psalm and as we see through the scriptures, we are people on pilgrimage. We are journeying. And that's the reality of this psalm. And maybe you notice something that the psalm speaks so much to what you and I need as those who are on the move, on the way, on a journey, on this pilgrimage. Because pilgrims face all sorts of challenges, not the least of which is everything is constantly in change. It's not simply that the scenery changes, but those sources that we would tend to look for security, they're constantly in flux, constantly in change, sleeping in a different place, looking for in a different place for sources of food, looking in different places for shelter and protection. And did you notice something in the psalm? Six times in Psalm 121, the psalmist assures us that the Lord not only is our keeper, but he will keep us. So the great theme of the psalm is the security you and I have. Security we know in a world where there's so much change, so much transition, so much upheaval, not only out there in the world, but even that upheaval which we experience in our lives, because the psalmist is frank, as the rest of the scripture is, that you and I are not immune to this upheaval, to these challenges, and to these changes. So we saw that the Psalms of Ascent speak frankly of the hardships we endure, but also of the help we have in the Lord, and that certainly he will bring us ultimately home to heaven. So the Old Testament saints were on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. You and I, are, as we've seen from Hebrews 12, are on that better pilgrimage as we are not simply looking to return to the Middle East, but we look to that new Jerusalem to be in the presence of God. So that rhythm of hardship and help and heaven, it's harmonious. It's in sync with what we refer to as the three tenses of salvation, that we have been saved. We are justified, and therefore the condemnation and the curse of our sin has been removed. And we are being saved. We are being sanctified. And so we are being cleansed from the corruption of sin. And ultimately we will be saved. There's the future tense. We'll be saved in glory, in that sense which will be removed from even the presence of sin. So the psalmist wants us to be real about the trials we experience in our lives, but also to rejoice in what's ahead of us, to rejoice in our pilgrim hearts. That's the rhythm here, and we should remember that that's the story of our lives, where we'll find hardship, experience God's help, and ultimately be brought to glory. So the psalmist wants us to know, and he's frank about the fact, that life is full of hills. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And we might think, and maybe you have, I remember as a child when I heard this psalm early in my life, when I thought of the hills and the psalmist saying, I lift my eyes to the hills, I had this romantic vision of something kind of like, and this dates me, but frankly it probably dates you as well, that many of you remember the movie Sound of Music. And you think of the hills, of course, which are alive with music, and Julie Andrews there as Maria, twirling about on these beautiful grassy hills with majestic Alps in the background, and she's singing about the hills being alive with music. And I want to assure you that's not the image here. And maybe some of you are not so prone to the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, but maybe more of the spaghetti western a genre. And you think of those hills in the distance where during the western, and they're pretty much all the same, where there are the travelers and they're on the Conestogan, something like that, wagon. And of course they're attacked by hostiles and they have to circle the wagons, and it seems like moment by moment there are fewer and fewer of those who are heading west. And then off in the distance we hear a bugle, and off in the distance we see clouds of dust coming, and we know the cavalry is coming, and the cavalry are coming, you know, to rescue these poor travelers who are under siege. Well, if that's your image in Psalm 1, let me assure you that you're actually wrong. That's not what's present here. Because in Psalm 1, the hills are not a place where rescue comes, but hills are the place of fear and foreboding. It's not the cavalry that's coming from the hills. The hills are known as the hangout for bandits. And that's where a place where those who are on pilgrimage would be attacked. Remember, and this is well known. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. There is a man who is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's attacked, and he's robbed, and he's beaten, and he's left for dead. See, that's what happens in the hills, especially when you're a pilgrim on your way to Jerusalem. Because the bandits would know that pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem were carrying with them their annual temple tithe. They're carrying with them 10% of their annual earnings. And let's face it, in the hills, there are no policemen patrolling the area. There's no security. And so the hills are a scary place. And the psalmist is frank in saying that life is full of hills. Furthermore, not only are there the bandits in the hills, but in the high places, the hills are known as those areas of high places where there would be pagan shrines. And there would be all sorts of temptations there. There were groves where priests of pagan shrines would be promising results from magical incantations. And there would also be the invitations to immoral practices, The pagan prostitutes would be no doubt waving to the pilgrims who are carrying their temple tithe, saying, come here and spend your temple tithe with me. It was no wonder that the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 3, verse 23 says, truly, the hills are a delusion, the orgies on the mountains. Truly in the Lord, our God, is salvation of Israel. So Jeremiah is saying, don't go to the high places. Don't fall for the temptations of the prostitutes and the false priests. Remember that your salvation is in the Lord. And that's the message of Psalm 121 for you and me as well. Now, the psalmist is speaking to those who are actually putting their sandaled feet to the path of pilgrimage. But let's recognize that the Hebrews also knew that this pilgrimage was a metaphor for their life, that we're on a journey, ultimately on the way through this world with all its hills and all its trials, ultimately to arrive in the heavenly Jerusalem, the heavenly city. And just as it was true for the Old Testament saints to be on this pilgrimage, so it is true for you and me. And that's why we began our worship service this morning from Hebrews 12 with that reminder, this clear presentation, that we've not simply come to an earthly mount, but as we gather for worship, our worship is gathered into the throne room of God, into the New Jerusalem. So we are, brothers and sisters, we are on pilgrimage through this life to the city of God. And again, the Bible wants us to be realistic and to recognize that this pilgrimage is beset with hills. Before there was COVID, before there were all sorts of trials and challenges that we faced in the years past, we should have known that life is full of hills. And the psalmist wants to guard us from being naive, guard us from being shocked when we encounter some difficulty or some sickness or some great trial. Again, life is full of hills. Life is full of hills, not only for the non-Christian, for the unbeliever, but for you and me as well. So we all need help. And the great question that the psalmist puts to us is, where does your help come from? Well, of course, many of our family members and friends, many in our community would say that, well, if you're looking for help, the best place to look for help is at the end of your own right arm. And there you'll find a helping hand. You should help yourself. You can find a helping hand at the end of your arm. And so many rely simply on themselves for their own help, which of course doesn't always get them where they need to be. Many think of looking for security in finances. And so they think, well, the answer is to get a high-paying job, and I'll gather a financial security and a financial fortress. And so ultimately, their hope is in their checkbook. But of course, stock markets fluctuate. Banks fail. And that's not a safe place to invest our lives. Others will put their hope in false religions. And we know from the beginning of Romans that every religion but the true faith in the true and living God, revealed in Jesus Christ, every world religion apart from Christianity is a false religion. Because the Apostle Paul is very clear that all of these find their origins in the earth, in this world. They are created as people devise idols of their own fashioning. And ultimately, making an idol is a form, the Apostle Paul says, a form of idolatry, a form of rebellion against the true and living God. So not only do people look to finances and to false gods, but of course, again, in helping themselves, and if you go to any bookstore, or if you scan Amazon or any online bookstore, you see that there's no limit of self-help books promising you a wisdom to navigate the hills of this life. And some try and guard themselves from the hills in life in those ways. But we also see probably every day, if we drive through Oxnard or Ventura or Los Angeles, probably most anywhere in the world now, people who have sought to simply blot out the view of the hills, whether by drink or by drugs. And of course, it's not only the homeless person, the one who's arguing with himself on the street corner. There are those who are perfectly respectable, who appear to have everything together, and yet seek out drugs or alcohol to blot out the trials of life. The psalm, in concert with the rest of Scripture, assures us that the only true and reliable help we find is in one place, and that is the Lord. Believers and unbelievers will face hills, but only believers, only those who have a relationship with the true and living God through Jesus Christ, have the answer of this psalm. And so the psalmist knows that God is the one who made the heavens and the earth. Where does our help come? It comes from the true and living God. And how do we know that he has this reliable, solid help? It is because he is the one who has made the heavens and the earth. As the one who has made the heavens and the earth, he controls all things. He maintains all things. He's the power who is at the beginning creating all things, and he is the one who sustains all things and will bring all things according to the purpose of his will. So the psalmist knows that the Lord is the source of real help and strength, as the Lord is the one who made the heavens and the earth. The reality that God is the one who made the heavens and the earth is the reason why this psalm, along with Psalm 23, is probably one of the most frequently quoted passages of Scripture in funerals. When we face that great hill, death, when we see that the things of this earth are taken away, what is our hope? What is our help? But it's in the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, the one who made everything and owns everything and controls all things. I'm sure there's not a one of us in this room who has not heard these words at the funeral of a loved one and found these words to be a comfort and an assurance to us. Then in this time when that which is so precious to us is removed from us, that we know that the Lord is yet in control. He has the credentials because he's the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He made the whole cosmos and he is sovereign. He rules over everything, even the hills of our lives. And so all our fears, all our dangers, all the snares of this life are under the control of the God who is, as verse 2 says, the maker of heaven and earth. Do you realize that? Do you realize that all of your troubles are under his control? This directs us then how to find help, where to look for help. It's only the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who is in charge of all things, that we find help. So the psalmist says there is the God who made the heaven and the earth. He is the only one who can help us. And his help comes in three ways. In verses 3 and 4, we see that Lord, and verses 2 and following, the Lord who is the maker of heaven and earth gives us ceaseless guidance. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Again, that great repetition of the Lord keeping you, keep maintaining your security. So the pilgrim is concerned as he's walking along the path, and Israel is known for being rocky, just like the hills To the north of us are rocky, and if you've done any trail blazing, you know that you have to be careful where you put your foot. Because if you're not careful, if you don't watch your step, you can easily stumble or trip on a stone. And the psalmist is saying, the Lord will not let your foot slip. He's watching you. The one who watches you, and do you notice, he does not sleep. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. And there is something of a jab against those false gods that many were looking to. We think of Elijah when he was in a contest with the prophets of Baal. And when the prophets of Baal were pleading that Baal, this false god Baal, would give evidence of his power, and nothing was happening. And Elijah just has fun with it at that time and mocks him. And in addition to saying, well, maybe your God went to the lavatory, or maybe he's sleeping. And there's something of that here, in contrast to the God, the false gods who really are not awake. The true living God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Maureen and I have a deal that if there's anything important for us to discuss, we don't talk about it in the first thing in the morning. Because it's very possible for her to present something that's very important, and I'll give assent to it, and then later on in the day I'll have no idea what she said, because I wasn't fully alert. I wasn't sleeping, but I was slumbering. And I realized that there's actually a term for this, and it's procrastination. Procrastination is putting off what you need to do until you've had adequate coffee. So that's what our deal is, that she needs to let me have my coffee, and then I'm alert. But thankfully, our God does not depend upon caffeine. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always alert. So what that means is, in our weakness, we'll never be derailed, because your God, your Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. Again, as I said, those who hike in the mountains know how easy it is to put your foot in the wrong place, to slip off the trail. We know in our lives, in pilgrimage, it's easy for us to take foolish risks, fully knowing the trail ahead of us. It's easy for us to make mistakes as we get weary, that we would put ourselves in a difficult position. But God says, he promises to you in verse 3, your foot will not slip. And the psalmist says, this is true. Time and time again, the Lord has guarded me. Do we realize the liberty of that? There are some Christians who believe that if they make one misstep in their lives, then they will forever be out of God's best plan for their life. But the psalmist says, no. The Lord will guard you. He will not let your foot slip. He will keep you on the path. He will preserve you to persevere all the way to glory. Now, this, of course, is not a condoning of blatant rebellion against the Lord. It's God's not saying here, well, you just do whatever you want and I'll take care of the mess. No, but he's promising us that as we look to him, and at times when we stumble and stray, when we repent, he will guard us and he will keep us on the way. Our foot will not fall. And it will not slip. That's the constant covenant relationship the Lord has with you and with me. So you and I can walk with confidence that we are the recipient of God's ceaseless guidance. We know this constant care of the Lord, particularly by the blessing of the Reformation, where the reformers were reminded of God's faithful providence, God's constant care for his people. So the reformers, in times of great trial and hardship, facing real hills in life, could be confident that God would not let their foot slip. And so they had confidence, not in themselves, but in God. And they launched out to be used of God to change the world. So they knew that God would give ceaseless guidance to them through the trials of life. And so this is the God who made the heavens and the earth. And he gives us, as the psalmist says, ceaseless guidance through all the paths of life. He will not let your foot slip. And that should be liberating to you and to me. Well, not only does God provide ceaseless guidance, but the God who made the heavens and the earth, he gives us sure protection in the trials of life. And in verses 5 through 6, we have this description of the Lord giving us shade by day and guarding us at night. We find that in reference to his protection in the shade and in the sun and under the moon, that God gives us around the clock constant care, constant security in him. There's no time in the day, no time in your life when the Lord is not guarding you and with you. And with that reference of the Lord being your shade by day, it literally means your shadow. God is so close. He's not far off. He's not distant. You might wonder what's going on in your life, but God is never in doubt. He's your constant companion. He is Emmanuel, God who is with us. And usually in the scriptures, when we hear that the Lord is with us, that means he's with us to fight for us, to be our companion through the trials of life. Now again, we've seen that this does not promise immunity from trials, immunity from the hills, but it does assure us that the Lord will ultimately protect us from anything that would separate us from the love of God as it is in Christ Jesus. And that's why it was so important to hear the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, particularly verse 18, when Paul said, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever." Is that your confidence? That certainly was the confidence of the psalmist, that the Lord will guard us from every evil deed. We'll face hills, we'll face temptations, we'll face trials, we'll face persecution, and we will endure opposition. And yet, the Apostle Paul assures us that nothing will separate us from the love of God, that God will ultimately protect us from every evil deed. So God is at our right hand. He is with us. And what a great assurance that is when we panic. Christians are not immune to panic attacks. When it seems like nothing's going right and everything's caving in and falling in on them. And if you experience panic attacks, you should remember that the Lord is at your right hand. He is with you. He will guard your foot. He will not abandon you. Many of us have endured a variety of hardships, but we can remember that the Lord will ultimately protect us from that which would separate us from him. He will keep us. There's the great security again, that theme of security we have in this psalm. So God promises us ceaseless guidance and certain protection, but also he gives us this certain promise of eternal life. As we hear in verse 7 and 8, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." So the psalmist is frank that we are not exempt from suffering or trials. That is part of living in a fallen world, part of dealing with the wages of sin. But we are saved from the power of sin in God's justifying work in Jesus. And yet we're not yet removed from the presence of sin, as we will be when we arrive in our pilgrim's destination, which is heaven. So the psalmist assures us that even that last enemy, death, cannot triumph over us. And even now, through all our days, God is watching over us and will ultimately bring us to glory. The psalmist is encouraging us to trust the Lord, because he's the one who made heaven and the earth. He made everything. He owns everything. He rules everything. You can trust him. You and I must trust him. So again, we're not immune from evil or death, but we are armed against it. And we certainly will overcome it, the psalmist assures us. And here is resurrection hope, right in the middle of the Old Testament. Here is the pointer to Jesus Christ, who came and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So the psalmist again draws our attention to that question. Where does your help come from? We know that the only reliable help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. He is the one who gives us ceaseless guidance. He is the one who gives us sure protection. And he also gives us the promise of eternal life. Only the Maker of heaven and earth can give salvation. And that's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." So the God who made the hills is our life and our salvation in Jesus Christ. So whatever trials, whatever hills you're facing, we may know that the Lord gives you guidance through them, protects you from anything that would separate him, and guarantees that ultimately he will preserve you to bring you to glory. So again, through this pilgrimage, beloved in the Lord Jesus, look to the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth, for he is your certain help. Amen.